Welcome to the Built Different podcast. I'm your host, Will May, team leader and real estate coach at Keller Williams Greater Omaha. And I am super excited today to have Sarah Pierce on the podcast. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, for sure. I've been fortunate enough to have you on a panel for social media, so I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of those similar questions. But seriously, I just appreciate you making time to be here today. So thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. We always start with three questions. So the first question I always ask is, if you could write a book today, what would you write about?
Probably about balancing motherhood and real estate. Got into real estate before I had kids, and I have three kids under five. So just trying to do everything with real estate and parenthood at the same time.
Yeah. And I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about that today and just finding some sense of, like, call it balance, but some sense of balance in this, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Number two, what is the biggest misconception or misunderstanding of being a realtor?
I think our clients and consumers in general don't see everything that goes on behind the doors. There's marketing that we're having to do. You're working with the financials with your clients. So it's not just opening a door. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah. And then the amount of work and preparation you have with any meeting that you may be going into.
Correct.
Cool. And then kind of final set of questions here at the beginning. What's your thoughts on the market now? Like, you've obviously been doing this how long now?
Going on 7 years.
7 years or so. So what are you seeing the market do right now? Are you seeing uncertainty? Are you used to this kind of market?
I think we're kind of getting out of the balanced market that we saw over the winter. And it's definitely kind of gearing more back up to the seller's side of things, seeing multiple offers on homes that I'd say like under 400,000. So I think spring market's starting mid-February, and I think we'll have a good one this year.
Yeah. What are you seeing as opportunities for buyers right now? Obviously, inventory is extremely low, but like, how are you advising?
Yeah, inventory is low. I think there's still opportunities for them where some new construction options, especially, there's incentive still. I had one recently where they were able to get almost half their closing cost paid for.
Dang.
So they chose that over a pre-existing just because it was less money out of pocket for them.
Oh, that's awesome. Any other kind of areas you're kind of focusing on with buyers right now?
I work with a lot of military clients. I was in the Army and my husband's still in the Army. So we have a lot of PCS season is coming up. So a lot of military opportunities that they're moving in now.
Is where you're kind of focused. Mm-hmm. How are you serving them the best way? Obviously, you have to have the understanding of what they may be going through with a move like that. But is there anything specific we should know about, you know, servicing military clients?
I think just understanding that their timelines can be very indecisive, and they might think that they're coming to our market or any market, and plans can change. The government likes to change things all the time.
Yeah.
So just being flexible with them and trying to educate them as much as possible on what our market looks like here, because it could be totally different than where they're coming from.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. Okay, cool. So why'd you get into real estate?
So going back into the military piece, I was in for about 5 years. I got hurt and then was getting medically discharged and needed to find something to do. So I actually got into property management. Didn't love it. There's little pay and a lot of problems that you're dealing with, especially on the apartment side of things.
Yeah.
My dad is a local commercial real estate agent, so kind of grew up with that and had it in the back of my mind while I was in the military still as something down the road to do, and just decided to pursue it. And ended up getting pregnant with the first year of real estate. And
that was a curveball in there.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it was nice to be able to honestly go through the process of becoming a real estate agent and then becoming a mom at the same time and not having to like completely change if I already had kids and jumping into it. I think it would be hard to go into that balance kind of things.
Have you been focused on staying balanced between the two the whole time? I know it's something you talk about a lot on social media, right? Is that something you've always carried through, or did you have to like learn some hard lessons in order to get here?
Yeah, definitely hard lessons, especially when your business starts to growing faster than what you kind of anticipate, trying to catch up per se on systems and just scheduling, I think is the hard part. We had kids in full-time childcare for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And then things changed, and they're home part-time. So now I'm working part-time hours, but still wanting to do the same business. So it's like something has to give. So trying to leverage what I can.
Yeah. I mean, when balancing, you know, really parenthood and running a business, like, what are the biggest challenges that you face?
I think scheduling, especially when we were in that unicorn market, like 2020 to 2022, it's you had to drop everything to go show a house. And if you didn't, your client was likely not going to get it.
Yeah.
So I think The biggest thing I learned during that was setting boundaries with my clients. I tell them literally in our first meeting, my phone goes on do not disturb at 9 o'clock. If it's an emergency or we're negotiating a contract, obviously I'll handle it, but otherwise it can wait till the next morning. Yeah. And I think clients really appreciate that, that you're treating it like a business and you're not out there saying I'm grinding 24/7.
Yeah.
No one needs to. Your doctor's not, your attorney's not. So I think as an industry, I think we're gearing more towards that way, but it's hard when the market was the way it was.
No doubt about it. And that was such challenging for everybody at that time. Did you ever lose clients because of that?
I'm sure there's a few. I remember there was one specifically that I didn't answer their phone call in like 10 minutes. And that's not someone I want to work with anyways. Because if they're going to be a headache from the first conversation, it's going to continue all the way through.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And so what about, you know, the time from 5 to 9? When we're home, generally family time for most people, right? Like, how are you servicing during those times and staying present?
Mm-hmm. It's tough. Until my husband got out of the corporate side of things and now he's working with me, he worked in Lincoln. And so he was gone from 7 in the morning until almost 7 at night. So there's a lot of juggling, making dinner. You've got little kids that it's a hard time for them in general. And then that's usually when a lot of clients are getting off work too. So now you're having, they're reaching out, wondering about houses. So the kids got more screen time than I would love to say, but it's part of, unfortunately, balancing being an entrepreneur and also being a parent at the same time.
No doubt.
But I think it's also been really good for my kids too, that they've been raised seeing their parents in the entrepreneurship side of things. Mm-hmm. When I leave, they're like, are you going to go sell a house? Like, it's fun to be able to come back and say, yeah, we closed one today. So
yeah, like a true five
and they understand it.
They have a little showing assistance here you got coming up.
Yeah. And they do come with showings. And that's another thing that I'm upfront with clients about is if they want to see a house last minute, great. But my kids might be with me.
Yeah.
And my kids have learned to kind of just sit aside and not get in the way for the most part.
Yeah. And so you set those expectations at the very first meeting with mm-hmm. them. Do you do buyer consults and obviously listings you do, but do you do a buyer consult with your buyers before you get out and show them houses?
Yeah, definitely. Working with a lot of military clients, a lot of them are PCSing from out of state. So if it's in those cases, we'll do a Zoom meeting.
Okay.
So either a Zoom meeting or an in-person meeting. I think it's really important to make sure everyone's on the same page. The last thing you want to do is get in a house and they can't afford it or they don't understand how the financial side of things work on there too. And I think even more so that having those, we call them buyer onboarding meetings, going to be even more important as the representation changes in the agency and just being upfront about how we actually are getting paid. And if things end up changing even more so, I think those conversations are definitely 100% required at the beginning.
No doubt. How are you handling like showings and all that with people that are relocating and they may not be here?
Definitely utilizing video is the biggest thing. Personally, I like setting up like a private Facebook group with them. I think it's a little more intimate than just saying, hey, here's a Zoom link or let's FaceTime. Especially if you're working with someone who's in a completely different time zone. Recently, we were working with someone in Hawaii and it's like a 5-hour difference. Mm-hmm. And being able to have that private group where they can share things in, you can go live and then it saves the video in there.
Cool.
And so you're not having to worry about a high quality video getting sent back and forth.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Have you been doing that long?
I'd say since about 2020, when we kind of had to shift things on how we were showing houses.
And so that allowed them to go back and see other, like compare the two almost.
Yeah. Especially if you're looking at 3-4 houses a day, it's easy to get them confused, especially in person and even on video.
Yeah. Any tips or tricks on film with your phone filming a good walkthrough video?
Be patient, walk slow. I think the biggest thing too is you're the eyes and ears and for them, if they're never going to see the house before they get here. So taking your time and going through the house, showing them any cracks there might be in the foundation, identifying if there are weird smells in the house, especially if you know that they might have kids with allergies, like they're not going to have a chance to see it beforehand.
Yeah.
So really just going above and beyond with what you're seeing in the house.
Yeah, it's a lot of weight, right, to carry. So you gotta have a really good buyer consult. What are some key things you're looking to, whether they're here or not in a buyer consult, what are some key things you're looking for besides just house type?
Mm-hmm. Timeline. Obviously, if they're selling a house, you're really working with that out-of-state agent, even more so than a sale contingency, stressful enough when you're on both sides of things.
Yeah.
Also, making sure they're educated on school districts if they have kids that are in school. We can't obviously gear them one way or another or steer them one way or another, but just providing those resources so that they can make a decision. And I've even gotten to the point of driving around different school districts and filming what the areas look like.
Cool.
So just giving them the opportunity to kind of hone in on where they want to be. And even if they don't have kids that are in school, driving around Dundee, those kind of areas where that are more popular for, I'd say, the younger generation.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was going to go to social media next. That's kind of how I, you know, had originally met you was through our social media panel, which you did a phenomenal job on.
Thank you.
And the one thing I took from that was how detailed you are. How much of your business comes from social media versus database sphere? You kind of view them as one.
Mm-hmm. I think there's an overlap with them because it's the same as if you're calling to follow up with your past clients. You can also send them a message on social media.
Correct, yeah.
And I think it's a way to stay in front of them. I think more of the conversations I have are about family or the gym and then talking with them about the same thing, their hobbies that they're doing. And then naturally real estate's going to come up in conversation.
Yeah.
They're going to ask you, how's the market? They're going to see if you post something about real estate or that's a great house kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'd say about a third of my business comes from social media. But overall about 95% is referral based.
Do you get leads through social media you don't know, people that you don't know?
Yeah, actually had one last month that I put a reel out and within an hour they scheduled a call through a link in my Instagram. The next day had a buyer consult over the phone and had them under contract within 48 hours.
Dang, that's awesome.
Just cold lead. Yeah, never met him before. They weren't even following me.
Do you get a lot of those leads or have you recently, I guess, more?
I'd say like a cold social media lead, not quite as much. It's a lot of building that relationship up over time. And I'd say typically within 3 to 6 months is more common versus something immediately.
Yeah. How are you building relationships? Like, what do you think is attracting people to you through social media? What's, I guess, high level strategy for social media?
I think the biggest thing is just being authentic, being yourself. No one wants to see just nonstop real estate. Most people buy a house like every 7 years. So they're not making that decision every single day that they want to see real estate. So I really focus a lot on putting my personal life on social media and letting people connect through that. And then being top of mind when they do need something real estate related, I'm the first person that they think of.
Yeah. Was that challenging at the beginning?
I think so. Especially, I think a lot of new agents have imposter syndrome. Like, really, should I be talking about this? I don't know what I'm talking about at all kind of situation. So I think my social media has definitely changed over the last like 7 years. And even more so, I think, in the last like 3 years. And just really focusing on who my ideal client is and trying to talk to them versus everyone.
Yeah. So what made you do that? Like the past 3 years, you said you kind of identified that. What was the catalyst there to that change?
I think the biggest thing was I came across some different like trainings on social media and took those in like 2020, 2021 and realized that that was the way I wanted to build my business on social media and not just posting the real estate things. Cause that's the way I started was just listed, just sold, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Market updates. But I think once I saw how other people were implementing it in different markets and then kind of mimicking that here, it was a big game changer.
So to the majority of agents that do social media that way, right? Just sold and we're constantly putting all of our real estate stuff on there. What's some like key things they could do in the next couple weeks to make a change, be more authentic, share their personal life if that's uncomfortable for them? Like how would you advise them?
Yeah, I think going back to the ideal client, sitting, like looking back through the last 12 months of business that you've done, where is there a certain spot that your business is mainly coming from? Maybe it's your gym that's you're getting clients or your church or your kids' sports that you're a part of. And then going from there and focusing even more, like, is it a single woman or a bachelor, families that are looking to upsize? Once you figure out who you need to talk to, it's easier to create the content. And then ChatGPT and all the other AI options we have right now are great starting points too. You can go in there and say, create 50 content ideas for that ideal client.
Cool.
And it'll spit out all those ideas. And then from there, you can kind of come up with, reels are a great option to get in front of more people that don't know you. Mm-hmm. And then the static post, which is what you would typically think of on Facebook or Instagram, are great for getting in front of people that already follow you.
Do you have like a certain amount of static or reels that you do per week? Or is there some sort of cadence for you?
For a while I was pretty like set in stone, and now it's more free of like what I feel like posting and not posting. I'd say I lean more on the reel side of thing just to get, I'm trying to get more people, kind of in that following right now.
What is your goals with social media?
I mean, one is always to be more consistent. Otherwise I'm trying to post 4 times a week on there, and then I'd like to hit 5,000 followers by the end of the year.
Where you at?
About 3,000.
It's on tape, so now we're going to check it.
Accountability.
That's awesome. And I know you'll get there because I just think you think so strategically. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's been working for you, right? How many deals did you do last year?
Last year, like 32, I think.
32?
Yeah.
So when you're kind of, again, kind of going back to the agent that maybe doesn't feel super comfortable, like, what did you do to get out of your comfort zone when it came to like, I'm going to share my personal life on social media, and then consistently doing that over time probably has helped you versus a lot of people like, people don't want to hear what I have to say, or they don't want to know what I'm doing, or that's uncomfortable with these things out there.
I think the biggest thing is someone had told me that no one's thinking about you more than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone is even seeing your social media posts. So you could go and put a video out there today and maybe a third of your following might see it, and they're going to forget about it by tomorrow. So, and also that you're posting to help someone else and not yourself.
Yeah.
So if you can go out there and help someone buy their first home, that's what you're there for. You're not there to boost your own ego.
Yeah. You're 100% right, because after 24 hours or 48 hours, there's so many new things that people are looking at. Nobody's generally going back and looking at older posts.
You could post the same thing every 3 weeks and no one's going to even realize it.
That's funny. Have you tried it?
I have. Yeah. It works.
That's
all. Switch up a few things, and if something's working, you need to keep doing it.
Do you repurpose your social media stuff and, you know, use it for email marketing? Is your goal for social media to pull people into email marketing, or are you not doing too much of that?
That's definitely a focus for 2024. Is social media is a leased space. Like, it could be gone tomorrow. And mm-hmm. So the biggest thing is, how can you get someone off the app and into your phone or your email system?
Mm-hmm.
So I think agents should really be focusing on that. Is, yeah, it's great to create the relationships there, but ultimately you want their phone number, you want their email address, their address. But that's not something that you want to just ask them immediately. It's something you have to build that relationship, and then they'll be comfortable giving you that information over time.
Yeah. And then you do get the, say you pull them off the app, right? Like, I heard it explained once, like, the social media is like the interstate, right? You're just trying to, you know, get your people off. And so, like, what is it that you would do if you're like, hey, now they're signed up for an email, or you have their phone number, or whatever it is? How would you stay in contact with them outside of social media to provide value consistently?
I think it depends on how you get their contact information. Like, are they opting into a home valuation system? That's something that we use a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy way to get people, they're intrigued about their home value. So HomeBot's the one that we personally use. There's so many other ones out there, but that one, you know that they, one, own a home already, and then they put their address and their email in there, so you already have that information, and you can also see what they're looking at in real time. So that one, we know that, hey, that might be someone we put into a drip system that they're a seller in the next 6 to 12 months. And you can, depending on how often they're on that website, you may get someone who downloads your new construction guide or buyer guide, seller guide. And I think so, just depending on where they're coming from is going to dictate like what your follow-up system is going to look like.
Okay. No, that makes perfect sense. How do you build out what you just said, like seller guide, buyer guide? Those are probably links that you have on your social media right now.
Yeah, so we use a landing page. It's called Stand Store, and it can, you can either have free downloads, or you can actually like sell digital products. Is a big thing on social media right now, especially for agents.
Mm-hmm.
Additional revenue stream is a great opportunity, especially when transactions the last year have been slower. I think there's agents that hold so much knowledge in their head and they don't want to share it.
Yep.
But there is so much benefit to collaboration over the competition side of things.
So Stand Store is how you're putting those things out. How did you create it? Like, some people really struggle with that side. Like, probably not to recreate the wheel, right? But how is it that you start? Like, oh, I need to get a seller guide. Sarah has this, so what do I need to do to get that?
I think, yeah, as an agent, like, you should definitely have a buyer guide and a seller guide, without a doubt. And you don't, again, you don't need to recreate the wheel. You just go on Etsy if you don't, if you're not creative. There's plenty of templates out there. And then it's a great opportunity because if you, a buyer or a seller just comes onto your social media, they don't even need to reach out to you, make that checkout easy for them. They can just download it, and then automatically you're getting their email address.
Yeah. How, so are you starting your own email campaigns outside of those two then, besides buyer seller guides and Homebot? Do you, are you going to do your own emails?
I also have one that's more geared towards agent side of things. So rolling out a farming guide. I do a lot of farming in real estate. And so trying to, I get questions all the time whenever I post about it. So I figured, hey, let's put that resource out there so other agents can take advantage of it.
Yeah. Too. What is the farming that you're doing?
So it's specific to my neighborhood that I live in. I've been doing it for about going on 5 years now. And first few years were slow. They always say it's a long game with farming. And it's definitely was true in my case. But last year I was able to make 6 figures just from my farm alone.
That's awesome. So
it's been a huge part of my business too, in addition to social media. And it's another thing that when you're posting about the farming, your other sellers are saying, hey, like, you're going above and beyond to get their listings out. So I think it just shows, the credibility side of things too.
Yeah. Geographic farming is literally the opposite of social media, but they're so similar, right? Because you picked your target person.
Correct.
Or target client, which is essentially a target area. They're they're very similar, right? How many times are you reaching out to the farm?
Every month get a newsletter. It's been basically the same thing from year two all the way until now. Started off with like a national company that was doing it for me. Didn't like how generic it was. And so I wanted to make it more personal and provide value and not just throw, hey, here's a house that just sold in the area.
Yeah.
So focusing on highlighting local businesses, obviously including what the market's doing, and then just other things that can help the homeowner, like how to improve your ROI on your home, or these are great projects to do this spring kind of thing. So each one is a little geared towards whatever's going on at that time of the year, but something simple that goes out every single month. And then
and you're just mailing those.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Just bulk mail options. And then events have been big. So that's something I implemented also in year two of doing the farming. And they started off small. They were like little popsicles that are like 10 cents at the store.
Yeah.
And then it's grown into getting Kona Ice to come in and Easter egg hunt and just a lot of bigger events where you're able to get in front of the whole neighborhood. And we have about 400 houses.
That's awesome. How many events per year?
We're doing one per quarter.
One per quarter. Yep. And they know, they get the invite through the newsletter, or do you do something else to invite them?
It kind of depends on which one. So for example, like our 4th of July parade is just open for anyone.
Okay.
And so that's more of just advertising it. But tomorrow I'm doing a Galentine's brunch. And so that one, there's limited spots. So there was a separate invitation that went out on our local Facebook page that I started and run too.
Cool. So newsletters once a month. You, and then you pull them all back into a Facebook group that you run.
Yep.
And then invite. That makes it very simple for people to, how many people are in that Facebook group?
I think we're close to about 400.
400. I wonder how many of those people do you have on like your other social media pages?
Yeah, I think as I get closer with them and actually meet them through different events, they become actual friends. But what's interesting is most of the business that I have done through the farming area were people that weren't even in the Facebook group, or they just cold reached out from one of the newsletters that I sent.
How many listings?
Last year, I think I had 5.
That's awesome.
And then pulled in buyers from the open houses that I was, like the big open houses for the neighborhood.
Yeah. Community involvement, right? It was really interesting. How big is your farm right now?
I think we're about 400 houses. It's two phase of like the new construction site is almost done on one of them. So that was one thing that when I first got started is doing a lot of research about, like, is this going to be worth my time and my financial investment would be my biggest piece of advice for agents, is looking to see what the turnover looks like in there. So making sure that homes are actually selling. And then is there an agent that's already doing a lot of business in there?
Yeah.
And at the time there was no one. And I think we're up to like 10 agents that live in my neighborhood.
Dang.
So there's definitely other ones out there, and So I think that was my biggest piece of advice for farming.
Yeah, that's awesome. And one thing that I learned from, you know, in the past door knocking, but also going through to classes for farming, community involvement. So whenever you have an open house, do something to partner with a business in the area or like a food drive or something like that to get more people to that open house. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
So community involvement is so important when it comes to farming. And I think that's one thing people miss. You could do really well by doing mailers every single month, right? Mm-hmm. And over time they will turn. But if you're involved in the community in some way or shape or form, that's going to make a huge difference and like speed that 18 month turn time down to like 9, right?
Yeah, exactly. Getting your face in front of them. People like to have that actual relationship with someone versus a piece of mail that goes straight in the trash,
yeah.
Which I guarantee you all of mine do, but having them at least recognize who it is, like this person's been sending me something nonstop for
mm-hmm.
4+ years.
Yeah. Now you're seeing people out when you're on walks and different things and they know who you are.
Exactly.
That's awesome. You're hitting both sides, social media and farming.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? So your husband's working with you?
Yeah. He just got licensed in January.
Yeah.
So getting him up and running right now. And then the last year he was our transaction coordinator for the team and kind of the operations side of things. And we're hoping to up our production this year and kind of get him rolling with everything. Eventually, he would like to get into the commercial side of things.
Okay.
So that's something that we're kind of looking long run to.
It's exciting for you guys.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to bring on, you guys going to hire agents, operations? What's the plan?
Yeah, that's the big question. I think right now we're comfortable with where we're at. Never have really had a desire to have a big team. But I think if things continue to grow, probably having a showing agent
yeah.
be our next step.
Next step. Who's doing the operation side right now?
That's definitely more on his side of things.
More on his side. All marketing is
me.
You. And then appointments, will he start selling right now then?
Yeah, we're kind of splitting things up right now. He has a great network too with the military. So he's already had some buyers going out there. And right now we're kind of doing the listing side of thing together too.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to kind of see what you guys do this year. While we're having an accountability video here, what's your guys' goal for the year for units and yeah. volume? What are you looking to do?
We're hoping to hit 20 million for 50 units.
Awesome.
So we're gonna a big goal, but yeah.
I'm gonna replay this video at the end of the year, kind of see where we landed. Check your social media, 5,000 followers.
Yep.
Will you change your social media to not just Sarah Pierce, to Pierce Group, or what would that look like?
Yeah, we're in the middle of kind of updating the branding right now. The biggest thing is I wanted him to have his own identity mm-hmm. within everything. And so he has his own social media. We don't have a team page necessarily, but we have like our website and everything is being branded as the two of us.
Cool. Awesome. Well, look, I know how busy you are being a mom and selling all the houses and now having a team. So thanks for making the time today. You guys heard it here. Farming still works.
Yes.
I love it. Works very, really, really well. But thanks again for making the time.
Thank you so much.
All right, you guys. We'll see you next time.